Well, hey, welcome to Writing Science Fiction is Hard. I'm James. And last week I've been thinking a lot about obstacles. So in a story, an obstacle is not an antagonist, but it is something that is put in front of a character that can create momentum in the story. And usually they reveal something about the character. You like to see the character using their tools to solve the problem. Get past it. However, they do that can be an element of the plot, but sometimes they don't solve the problem, and that reveals something about the character for the reader. I don't know if right now I'm revealing about myself that I can't, I'm stuck on some certain things, but I am going to get past them. So let's talk about that. There are two main things that I've needed to get finished in the last week. I need to finish a summary for my next book or an outline for my next book. And maybe I put an obstacle in front of myself because I decided I wanted to really dig into this outline for the first time. One of the things I had a problem with book one in this series was that I would get to a point, not know where I wanted to go, and then spend a week to 2 weeks to a month not writing and thinking about, what was supposed to happen when really I should have figured that all out from the beginning. So I'm working on that this time. The challenge is that I got to a point where I think a major thing needs to happen, but it felt like it was too soon in the story. Like it was just the halfway point, and it's a thing that needs to happen at the three-quarter point. And I probably could add a side plot because I also realized that I had not included a main character enough in the story. I'd introduce some new characters that were going to have things happening to them, and the main character would be interacting with them. But an important side character didn't have a lot to do, and I needed to come up with something for them. I need to come up with something for them that's integral to the story that will come together in the end. So I'm still working on that. There was going to be sort of a mystery element to find a piece of equipment that could sort of help save the day. And the thing is, I think that should probably come in at book three, not book two, because it would be super cool to help with the big problem that's going to come up. So I need to find something else. And I'm still working on it. And probably the way I should get that done would just be to get the document open, read it, come up with some different ideas, choose which may or may not work, and then just keep going. But another thing that can happen in a story is layering of obstacles. And that's quite often that feels like what's happening to me right now. Because the other thing I'm trying to accomplish is I need to finish my statement of purpose essay for my grad school application because I want to send it to my friend who is helping me out with this process. And there's a couple things getting in my way there. Like, A, it should only be about 750 words, and I'm not 20. So when I go to write out the things that are in there, like I can get to 500 words just talking about the dumb stuff that's happened in my life. I mean, not dumb stuff, but stuff. I think I talked about this in the last video, so I don't want to go too deep into it. But it's being a challenge. I think the thing that is getting in my way with it really comes back to I'm beating myself up about why do I want to go to grad school? Like I need to have some really valid purpose or something. And that's sort of a problem I've always had with school, I suppose. Like when I went to got my bachelor's degree, I barely went into it with the idea that I needed to actually learn something. I had been working as a reporter for about 2 years at my local newspaper. And I thought I would get a chemistry degree. Like I wanted to be pre-med for whatever reason. Well, I know what the reason was. I had joined the army, got into a medical field in the army, and thought I like the medical field. Maybe I'll continue doing this. I put way too big an obstacle in front of myself there, ran into chemistry at the college level, and I had never taken chemistry before. And it just felt like a complete foreign language to me. And rather than do something where I probably could have failed, I changed my degree to journalism because I knew I could do it. And part of that was probably setting up like working within the bounds of the constraints I had, because I had an ROTC degree, I had to do a ROTC scholarship. I had to go to ROTC classes, which took up a lot of my time. And I didn't feel like I could be successful because I also had to work. And so there were a lot of things getting in the way of just being a student for being a student's sake, or for learning's sake, I should say. One thing about ROTC was it took up about 6 credits a term. So there wasn't a lot of extra space in my schedule just to take classes that I was interested in taking that I thought would be interesting. So when I think about grad school, and A, it's expensive. I do get, like, one of the big reasons I'm pursuing this is I get a tuition discount. I think that I would like to teach someday, but the fact is you don't need a graduate degree to teach. Like, you do need to do it at the college level, which I think is where I would like to be. But if teaching is really what you want to do, you don't have to do that at the college level. Like, we live in a time where it is, I mean, in fact, it's a grift half the time to get relatively good at something and then make a course about it, right? I mean, somebody commented, I was talking to, I think it was in Discord or something, about another podcast I was doing, and they're like, I'm so surprised you guys aren't just doing a class. Like, why aren't you making a class and selling it? You're just giving this information away for free. And, well, sure, like, I don't want to... I'm a writer. I enjoy also teaching and working with people, and being focused on writing as the sole purpose of, or communicating or telling a story within the bounds of the world we live in right now is a thing that's very interesting to me. Being able to solely focus on that it's a little scary, because I did have a period where I was, you know, working full-time as a writer, and I ran into a lot of blocks there as well. Like, there was a lot of other stuff going on in my life that made it pretty difficult to do that. But I have never had a time where my life was solely focused on writing. And everybody I know that is doing it full time is pretty stressed out. So teaching, or that could be another income stream to make that more possible. I mean, in reality, I have to start thinking about, like, retirement, right? Which freaks me out. But if I got to a point where I didn't want to stay at my current job, or I lost my current job and I probably am not in a place, I don't want to move, and the thing I do for a living is pretty specialized, I'm fortunate to be able to be doing it in the place where I am. So I probably wouldn't continue doing that work. I would need to find some other form of work that I could do either remotely or in an academic setting. And we have multiple schools around, or there now are online schools, you know, credentialed universities and whatnot that it's possible to work for. It's also very competitive. But there's also the point of going to school to learn and to be better at what I do, and that there could be information out there that I don't have, or I haven't focused on things in the way that the graduate program might help me. Those are all things I could probably do on my own. So this is kind of the loop I'm in, right? Why do I want to put myself through this? That's something that my wife said, and I think I've said it before, but I mean, that comes down to everything to do with writing, right? Like, why do you put yourself through this? I don't know. Sometimes it's a thing that I want to be good at. It's like art. It's like any sort of thing that doesn't always have a monetary return, but I find immensely rewarding. And it's a thing that causes a lot of conflict and difficulty in my life, especially when you're inviting people into your life to tell you what they think about the thing that you made. And oftentimes they don't like it. So that's part of it. It's a thing that I've always wanted to do. I was always a little frustrated I didn't get to continue with my education, which is something I wanted to do. The circumstances of life and getting out of the army and needing to get a job and made all that difficult. So anyway, writing all this down has been hard. And I don't know if it's the thing, these are the things I need to say. Maybe I should just focus on the things I would like to work on. And I'm also a little stymied there, because I don't know if the things I want to work on in that setting are actually fiction. So that's where I'm at with that. Those are the obstacles in front of me. Really, if we're going to be systematic about it, I need to sit down, write multiple things. If I'm having a hard time, write multiple things, make branches that can be chosen among or combined, and then move forward with it. And that's what I need to do. That's what I am going to do. If I was giving a friend advice on how to do this, that's what I would tell them to do. Same thing with writing the outline. Do something. Get words on paper. Just keep moving forward. If you have made the first step to get up in the morning when you have the time to get out and do the work, don't then surf Reddit for an hour and a half and decide in the last half hour you're actually going to do some work. Don't reload Cyberpunk 2077 and start playing it. I didn't do that during my writing time, but I did do it during the day. This weekend was kind of difficult as well because my wife has to take some medication once a month that basically just knocks her out. And so it's me and my daughter, which I really enjoy that as well, but it also makes it hard to focus on things and to make sure that, you know, my wife's doing okay. And there's another thing on top of that where we're in the process of needing to sell my mom's house. And so the real estate agent is doing their job and checking in with me and asking like how things are going, because there's a bunch of stuff I still need to clean out of the house. There are two outbuildings that we had moved a lot of stuff from the house into. And now we're at that final place of deciding what we want to keep and don't want to keep. I've done one trip so far of things that needed to be sorted through. I sorted through a bunch of old photos. And now it's even getting harder. It's like the final boss of sorting stuff, because previously all the stuff that had been in the house, like most of it was my mom's stuff or my dad's stuff that he had left there when they split up, which is very surprising to me. My mom spent 30 years, another 30 years in a house full of a bunch of my dad's stuff and didn't get rid of it. My dad left that stuff, but then also a bunch of stuff from when my brother and I were kids. And so it was pretty easy to get rid of that stuff. But what I'm going through now are things that I had put in storage when I left the army. And so I'm finding all these photos that I thought that I didn't have. And every time I look at them, it's sort of getting sucked into, oh yeah, that happened and that happened. And I remember this photo or I remember this thing. And so it's sort of a memory trap that you get sucked into, and it takes time. So those are also things that have been weighing on my mind. I need to get that done. I couldn't, like Saturday, I was going to go down. It's also the house is 30 minutes away. So if I'm going to go do that, it's a commitment for a few hours. Well, I wasn't able to leave when I wanted to, and you know, blah, blah, blah. I didn't get it done. And so multiple things were kind of on my mind about that. My wife reminded me that the real estate agent works for us. Just tell him you're not going to get it done. And that's probably what I should do. I need to take charge of, like, it's my plan. It's my, other people are not driving me forward with this. I decide when I want to do things and get it done. But it's like competing priorities there, right? Like the sooner I can get it done, the sooner we can get it listed and hopefully get it sold. And there's a bit of a ticking time bomb involved because my mom is down to $30,000 of her savings to pay for her care. And her care is $7,000 a month. So maybe 4 months. I'm trying to give a little bit of leeway there. The thing is, I think I've said this before, so I don't want to act like this is absolutely weighing on my mind, making it difficult to get work done. So I don't want to be repetitive about that. The only takeaway I would say is that if you haven't talked to your parents about what their plan is, talk to them. I will reiterate that until you go do it. So what else has been happening? I have been doing a little bit of reading. I've been reading mostly nonfiction, though, actually. I've just had a hard time getting into anything fiction-wise. I've read some short stories, and they were good stories, I felt. They didn't really irritate me like some other stuff that I've been reading. I've been reading Quantum Supremacy by Michio Kaku, which is one of the best descriptions of how quantum computers work that I've yet read. Like, it finally made a lot of that make sense. What's difficult about it, how it could be revolutionary. And what's interesting, like I'm only about halfway through the book, but he does drop the idea that nature uses quantum states in a lot of things that happen at like room temperature or regular temperatures. And that's a big obstacle to quantum computing right now, is that to get atoms to the state where they can be, you know, measured in the fashion that quantum computing needs, they have to be as close to zero as possible. And he dropped it, like photosynthesis uses a lot of these, I don't know what you call them, values, techniques, methods. So it is entirely possible that someday we could have a quantum computer in our pocket. We're just not there yet. So that's super interesting. And it also leads me to, like, anytime you see the word quantum somewhere, like, are people using it in a way that really means anything? Are they, like, I just want to read more about quantum theory, that it's very interesting. So I may go down with the road more on some nonfiction. This week coming up is, we're heading into Christmas. My daughter is out of school. I really should not push myself to get anything done. And I would say that you probably shouldn't do that either. It's always a time when family is around or family has expectations of you if you don't have kids. And trying to get work done during that time can be hard. The only thing I really am going to try to do is at least just get a little bit every day. Like, I do want to start writing on this new book and building up some momentum. I'm going to get, like, I write with a template, which is a thing that I can go into later. Like, Scrivener was on sale after Pro Writing Aid did their kind of version of NaNoWriMo. So I now have Scrivener on the PC, on the Mac, and I could use Scrivener going back and forth. I had moved away from it because the Word template that I've been using, which is what Mallory Cooper uses for Aeon 14, and makes it very easy just to generate an ebook from the Word document. Like, Scrivener does not work with that, and trying to paste stuff into it from Scrivener really does not work with it. But the tools within Scrivener, I would really like to take advantage of those, like daily word count targets, being able to rearrange chapters, which is also a thing you can do in Word on the PC easily. But then I wonder, am I just putting another obstacle in front of myself by using a note, like pushing myself to use another piece of software, right? I'm spinning my wheels on something that feels like work. And I haven't talked about this a lot in this podcast, but the whole idea of shadow, like a shadow career is what Stephen Pressfield calls it, not necessarily shadow work, where you're whatever, dealing with your dark side. No, a shadow career is when you spend time doing a thing, spinning your wheels, that is not focused on actually getting a creative work done. And for me, that can be research, that can be software. It just takes time from the actual thing of creating words. In a way, making these videos for me is a shadow career, but I like to have a thing I can look back on and feel some accomplishment, or at least remind myself that I was moving forward with something. And it helps me to be able to look back and see that I made something. So I don't quite consider this a shadow career. Also, this does help me out with the idea of teaching someday. So thank you for your help there. So I don't know that I'm going to waste time on that, but it does feed into something, one of my goals for 2026. And next week I'll talk more about that. Like, what are my goals for 2026? How do I feel like 2025 went writing wise? But I really need to cut back on the number of things that I'm spending money on. And so software subscriptions is a big part of that. I've already paid for Word. I should probably just use Word, but I digress. So I'm not going to be too hard on myself, but I am going to really work to just get back into the momentum of things. I'll report back on how that goes. Some other stuff that happened this last week. The Science Fiction and Fantasy Writers Association came out with a new rule around the Nebula Award, which is their members chosen award of what was the best fiction, nonfiction, comics, game writing, etc. Among members you know, for the past year. And their initial rule change basically said that using AI as part of the writing process would disqualify something from the award. And that led to a lot of people freaking out about that because AI is forcing its way into everything. Also, a lot of people have been trying to use it for brainstorming or working out plot problems, or like I've been using it as basically a kind of a series Bible where it's very useful to search within a bunch of things that you have. Is that AI that's changing my writing process? Like, it's saving me time so I don't have to print out or control F through a bunch of documents, and it shows all of those things to me in one place, which is a thing control F will do anyway. So I probably wouldn't have to do that, but I find it very useful. So then they changed the rules and said, no, you could use it, but if you used it in the generation of actual words, that's where they drew the line. Well, then reader members have been debating this pretty hotly about, like, there are a lot of people who are very angry that their work was stolen to train AI. And I totally get that. The argument is that any use of AI is basically using stolen property. And I think using it to generate things is definitely using stolen property. Like, I've used AI art generation. It's frustrating because where is the line, right? I mean, you see it now in Photoshop where AI is doing things that used to take forever, like, you know, selecting part of an image so you can separate it more easily, or doing compositing or things like that. That really saves time. But then fully generating an image, or like, that is using something it was trained on. Was that stuff open source? Probably not, or a lot of it wasn't. So I definitely understand that. But then finally, people started differentiating between what is generative AI, which would be used to full-on create a story, create words, create aspect of a story, and what is assistive or analytical AI, which gets more to language models that are giving information, not necessarily generating work. That the idea there is that the AI can't actually create anything new. All it can do is serve you a chopped up version of something that it stole in a certain way, you know, as it reduces stories to numbers. And I think that's where it's going to land. Some folks also, like, there are a bunch of other organizations that have already tackled this problem. And I'm going to look at some of those links to figure out more about it, or how they've approached it. I don't enjoy online debate. I barely enjoy reading it. So some people, you know, watching people work through this thing, some people blatantly attacking other people, is not my favorite. And I don't like the way I get sucked into it, because it's definitely an oxytocin hit. Like, anymore, I just try to stay away from online comments, because it is such a, it's like reality TV, right? You're just reading drama that isn't going to do anything for you. When if I had waited to read all this, it probably would have been a lot calmer in my brain if I just looked at it a couple days later, rather than watching arguments play out in real time. I didn't even get onto other social media to see what people were saying about it. That was another thing that was weighing on my mind, creating obstacles. But I'll be curious to see how that plays out. I have not used AI to generate full-on words because, like I've said before, it's bad at it. And I don't like how when AI generates something, or anytime I've used it, it's a blatant reminder of how certain writing will communicate something, but is that writing interesting or special or different? And I would like to do writing that is interesting. No writing is going to be different, right? There's nothing new under the sun. It could be different for the time and the reader who is experiencing it. I think that's a thing that is definitely true. A lot of readers have not read the whole canon of something, right? So if they are reading a thing that was maybe done during the golden age of science fiction, it's new to them, and it's new in the context that they're reading it. So that still is like a pretty cool interaction between you and the reader. But doing it in a way that is you, is still something special, I think. It's another reason, like I was talking about in the previous episode of the show, that maybe having typos is going to become the actual signal that this was made by a human, right? So I'm still watching that play out, and I'll be curious how it's actually implemented. There was a lot of interesting arguments there. One of the ones that I didn't see come up was about how it can help people that have, disabilities, especially around using technology or as an assistive technology. Like I said, for some reason, I skip words constantly. I've wondered sometimes, like, why is my brain moving faster than even what I'm trying to write? And so if I had a tool to help me with that, I would really appreciate that. Is it creating words for me? If it does that, it's hopefully figuring out the word that I meant to go there. And then I could decide if that word is correct or not. Like, I really hate autocomplete. I try to turn it off on everything. And it's really frustrating when it gets turned back on, which is a big problem with AI right now, is that you'll turn off the feature and then it gets turned back on with an update. Companies are actively hostile about this because they want to insert it into every part of your life so they can then start mining more data off you or selling advertising through the AI, which is coming. So I'll be curious how that plays out. Yeah. So I need to do more work in my mom's house. I need to get the outline and the essay finished. I have the stories in mind that I want to submit. I still need to write something that's nonfiction based, and I'm still not quite sure what I want to do for that. But the thing is, I want to get all of this done during this next week so I can send it out to my friend and start asking for letters of recommendation going into January. Because before I know it, it will be March, which is when the deadline is for the two programs I want to apply to. Time just keeps going way too fast. Yeah, I think that's everything. If I have something else, I will add it to the show notes. But thanks for hanging out with me. I really appreciate it. These shows have been, they do help me get my thoughts together and see that I've been working on something during the week, because it feels like a curse of my life right now that I will have accomplished things, but I don't feel like I did. And that's a weird place to be, because you're constantly beating yourself up, or I'm beating myself up. Like, you didn't do that. You didn't do that. The fact is, no, I actually did a lot. I for some reason only see the things that I didn't do. I have a very difficult time seeing the things that I did accomplish, or the good things that are happening. So this is helpful. All right. Well, thanks very much. I appreciate you hanging out with me. And in the previous show, I did talk more about what I'm trying to do for the essay and how my process is going through for that. So check that out if you're interested. And I'll talk to you next time. See you later.